The WLEW, News and Public Affairs Department, now presents What Do You Think? Here's your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. Our guest today in the studio is Clark Brock. He is president of the Huron Community Fair Board. We're going to be talking about the upcoming fair. It is next week. It's hard to believe it's come around again. The summer is winding down into August, and people think of back to school when they get into the fair, but the fair is coming up. 147th edition, and thanks for being with us, Clark.
Oh, thank you for having me. We're excited. Sunday we'll get things kicked off and rolling, and it's a full year's work of work getting ready for it, but that's great. It's what we love.
Is that what people really don't realize sometimes, is that, you know, they think, oh, you know, about July or June they start putting this all together and get their I's dotted and T's crossed, but you pretty much have to be looking years ahead, because you got to make sure you got a midway, you know, with the rides and stuff, because these people get booked up and then you got nobody.
It truly is, and more and more people do understand. It's a year round activity, getting ready for a week of fun. We're already booking things. We're already looking at next year and the following year. In fact, we had that conversation, Craig. 150th is coming right up in 3 years, and we're already looking at what pieces can we put for that. So it truly is a year-round preparation to get ready for that week, to try and make sure it's as correct as we possibly can.
Trying to make 150 a big blowout year for you?
We're looking to be able to. We'd like to add a couple of really cool, neat pieces for the 150th, but that's a couple years planning away yet.
And it's got to be stuff that you have room for, and you're not bumping the favorites that everybody comes there for. So you've got a little balancing act to do in all of this.
Oh, absolutely. The favorites will always be there. You know, you got to have Gibby's Fries. I mean, that's just a given. And you got to have a midway, and you got to have some of those things. But we're hoping when we get to that 150 that we'll have a couple of special things that people remember the fair for.
And the fair has changed over the years. I've been here decades.
Sure.
And I remember the Huron Community Fairs of the past, and the one thing that always amazed me when I first came up here is, I mean, there'd be, like, you know, a whole row of farm equipment and stuff that people can see that now at the dealers and such. You've gone to other things because, you know, you're going for what brings the people in.
You do. You have to make some changes and do some things from time to time. That farm equipment row is not what it was at one point. Those farmers are dealing that and seeing that all the time. And, of course, with the introduction of internet and online type things, it's so much easier to get all the information you need in other ways.
And I imagine a lot of these places, you know, they order what you want. They don't keep a whole lot of stock on hand with the price of it, so true. They don't have it around to bring into your fair anymore.
Yeah, having been an ag teacher at one point in time, I remember when you used to go to the implement lot, and there'd be four or five brand new combines sitting down there for someone to go in to look at and pick their one. And today, those are pretty much, I order it in the winter to have it specially built and prepared for me for summer when I get ready to harvest my wheat and fall for corn. So that has changed. The times are different, but even as much as times are different, the old standbys are always there and the important things for us.
Well, one of the most important things at the fair is the kids.
Absolutely.
I mean, you get the 4-H and
4-H and FFA and all those youth.
And the junior livestock and all of these kids in there doing their projects. They work on them all spring and summer long, and then they come to the fair, they get judged, and everybody gets to see them.
Sure. And truly, we say, as we talk, the reason we put the fair on is for the kids in the community. And kids come first, and we always are looking at how do we make it better for the kids and more things for them. And we hope the community enjoys what we do so that they can appreciate the efforts of the kids in their work.
That's how the fair has continued through the years, is you got the kids enamored with it. They grew up and they bring their kids.
So, sure.
So it's like courting for years down the road.
Absolutely. And I've, Craig, you talk about the fact that you've been around for a few years. I've kind of been at the county fair for quite a number of years myself. And, you know, we're getting to a point where it's the kids who were kids when I started, their kids are here now, and in fact, a few of their kids are starting to get done, and we're soon going to start having their grandkids. And that truly is what the tradition is all about. It's the families and the fact that they continue to keep involved and want that activity. They realize how great it was, the educational aspect of it, and the fun it is to go to the fair.
And we were talking a little bit before the program, the kids that compete, they get prizes, they get ribbons and such. And a lot of the funding for that is dried up with, you know, the budgets of governmental officials.
Sure.
And a lot of people locally have stepped up.
It's amazing, Craig. We can go back through the old fair record books of when the state used to support county fairs, back when horse racing was a big thing in the state, and paramutual betting took place, and the paramutual funds all went to support fairs across the county as a state. Now in the state of Michigan, there virtually is almost no horse racing, and there's no paramutual funds, and so the state of Michigan, they throw a little grant money once in a while, but the $100,000 or $150,000 that used to come at one point in time, it isn't there anymore. And fortunately, we live in a community that absolutely positively loves their kids and loves their community. And when we go to businesses and farmers and people and say, this is what's good for kids, would you like to help and support? Everybody has stepped up huge and really made that work and be a great opportunity.
And these, a lot of them are ag-related businesses. We are a very heavily ag-related community. And they know that this is the way to get kids' continued interest in agriculture. There's all kinds of agriculture. It's not just on the farm. There's after the crops are out, all of the other, you know, post-harvest things that go on.
The equipment, the marketing,
all of that. Yeah. So it gets the kids involved, and it's a way of helping their own futures
sure.
as well.
Sure, it absolutely is. Our people, the community, the one of the things is, as I talk to people, you know, it's how do we keep our kids here? Well, if you support them well and let them know that we live in a wonderful community, it's a great place to live, that's what helps keep those kids here and helps those keep those families around. And so many of our businesses, whether they're pure agriculture or they're ag-related or they're just other good businesses that want those people in the county to be here, are very important and really step up and help out.
And you have judging for a lot of these coming up through the fair week.
Sure.
So there's different days, different times. Then get one of the flyers and brochures
sure.
and find out which is happening today. And we're going to go through a lot of
we'll
this.
We'll go through some
through.
Of that. The flyers and brochures and the fair book. And, of course, listen to the radio and read the papers and go
and
online.
And it's online because
yep.
your fair, Huron Community Fair, Google that. You get to the Community
right.
Fair page and you can get a schedule there.
Community Fair website that has all the information there. And we have a Facebook page. And, I mean, there's just lots of ways to get that information.
Well, terrific. Starts off Sunday. Do we have the traditional Sunday at the fair, the Indian Trails Rodeo
show? Absolutely, the traditional kickoff with the Indian Trails Rodeo. And, of course,
had a little rebellion a few years ago when that didn't happen, and people really like that, and
people,
glad to have it back.
People enjoy that, and we're glad it's there. It is a nice way to kick off the fair, and I think in this county people like that part of it, and it's a great way to start the fair off for us. And there was a couple years that it didn't work, and we're back at it. And again, that group struggles sometimes too to get the people that they need to be involved. You know, anytime you put a show or an event on, it takes bodies to do that. And I'm glad that they have some of their next generation kind of stepping through and making some of that happen. But that's an exciting piece. And then, of course, on Sunday also, animals and projects come rolling through the gates big time.
And they have to do that Sunday, so they're available Monday morning for the start of the traditional fair type events.
Right.
And also it gives you folks a chance to check all the paperwork and such, because this year we had the avian flu thing that
sure.
keeps birds out. So you got to make sure that they have all their shots, all their paperwork.
I've had conversations with the state veterinarian a couple times over the last couple weeks in terms of making sure that what paperwork do we need and where are we at, and our kids have to do a lot of health records and things. And it's interesting. The state likes to look at the county fair as a way to help monitor what is going on health-wise with animals across the state, because it's a good chance to bring all those different animals together and see what is out there. And so that is an important piece to it as well. So, yeah, we need that opportunity on Sunday to get the tag numbers down and the right animals in and the health records that are there and all the identification and of course, taking weights so we know when to get ready for sale. And Sunday is a full day.
And remember to bring all your paperwork. Nothing more hassling than to have to turn it around, take the animal back to the farm to get all the paperwork
right.
so you can come back and register in. So
absolutely.
Bring all that paperwork, and I'm sure on your webpage it shows you what you need to bring, all those types of things, if you go to whatever particular event
yep.
you're in, livestock or whatever.
Right. It's all there, and the kids have all been notified in conversation with superintendents. Sometimes we get a little excited about it. Get them loaded, we got to roll, and forget a paper or two. But for the most part, our kids and families do a wonderful job, and we must be doing something right because the numbers keep crawling up every year.
Terrific. We've got some new things at the fair today, not just some events, but we've actually got infrastructure that has been new, improved, and grown.
We do. If you haven't been to the fair in a year, you're going to notice a big difference when you roll on. We have a brand new show sale arena. Sets on the corner next to the hog and beef barn.
So you're not going to be doing it in the middle of what looks like two barns?
No.
Like you did in the past?
No.
You're going to have a designated area for all that?
We have a designated barn instead of the hog barn, which used to have the sheep show and used to have the swine show and used to have the sale. And then we'll also show all of the beef in the new barn. Actually, if you show up this year and you walk into the hog barn, you're going to kind of go, oh, there's no way they could have had that there, because we're up about 30 pen of hogs from last year.
Eating up all that show space.
And that show and sale space is pretty much all eaten up. We had a new wash rack system put in for the kids to be able to clean those hogs and keep better care of them there too.
That sounds almost like a car wash. That's kind of
well. It's almost like it's almost like a car wash. Oh,
no.
It's not painful at all. They go into the we have individual. We have 12 new individual washing stalls there. Lucas Kozlowski Memorial piece of that barn. The family stepped up and wanted to do that in Lucas's memory. So. We will have that, which is wonderful. We've never had the space in the past to be able to properly give those kids the opportunity. That will be there.
It's also good for the animals.
And it's good for the animals.
They can't sweat. Hogs are
right.
very poor at dissipating heat,
right.
as far as I know. I'm not a big animal person.
You're correct.
But the water, and that's why they roll in the
yep.
mud, is it helps cool them.
Sure, absolutely. So it'll give kids a better opportunity to work on animals throughout the fair week. There'll be lots of opportunity and lots of room there. So that's a big piece in that barn. And of course, when you do new pens, you have to buy new pens to make new pens. So there's another big chunk of addition that went in. When you add 40 or 45 new pens to a building, that takes a big chunk too.
And it may increase the time of the sales too, or the showing when you've got all the extra
sure.
ones to go through.
Our hog show will be a little longer this year. We'll try and keep the sale moving as best we can, and we're hoping with the new facilities and it'll be much more comfortable. That new Hagen show sale building, which truly the Hagen family wants everybody to understand, the golf outing that is community-wide supported, that's a community-supported event, and it's a community support that is putting that new building there. A lot of businesses, individual, and people in this county have stepped up to help with that activity and make that a possibility. And it was built to be open and airy and lots of seating, and I think people are really going to like that building.
Terrific. But that's not the only thing new.
No, that's not the only thing new. The finishing touches are going on the new small animal building. The local Farm Bureau agents, Farm Bureau insurance agents, came to us a couple years ago and said, how can we do something a little different? How can we step up and be involved? And so they have been the primary supporters of the new small animal building.
And when you say new, is it ground up?
Brand spanking new. If you were at the fair last year or the last few years, about 4 or 5 years ago, we moved what was the sheep barn over next to the rabbit barn by the 4-H building, and it sat there for a few years. Needed some repair, needed some work, really wasn't quite up to code, and the county kind of kept saying to us, you really need to. And so what we did is that building is gone and ground up, brand new, 60 by 92 foot building that sits there. Beautiful building. Pulaski Builders are down there right now trying to put finishing touches on things to have that building ready to go, and it's going to be it'll be set for Fair Week. Unfortunately, it won't be quite as full this year as usual because with the avian flu, there'll be no poultry on the grounds. But I talked with a couple people this morning that were out taking the pictures of their birds so that we'll still be able to have those kids go through the educational process. They will have the pictures with their report that will be there. They will meet with a judge and do a live showmanship in terms of educational with them. So we'll have that. That building will have the goats in it. We're going to move the rabbits in there for this year. We're going to close the rabbit barn this year and move the rabbits in this year because we have that space in it, and it will work well this year. We'll see how much space we need for another year, whether we continue that or not. But it's beautiful new building sponsored by those local Farm Bureau agents, and we really appreciate them stepping up and making that effort as well. And when you go, you need to make sure you kind of go through their little entrance that they have there. I understand that the agents are talking about their popcorn machine and some other information and maybe some freebies that they'll have there because they want to have a chance with their new building to get people to see it.
Terrific.
And then we don't stop there.
There's more.
Bayport State Bank said, you know, the grandstands kind of are due for a little facelift. And we said, yeah, we know they are, but we can't quite do that. And they said, well, let us take that project on then. And so, again, James Pulaski's crew, we've been thrilled with Kevin and Nathan and the crew that are down there working, and they've been there all summer long. Between finishing the Hagen building, doing the Farm Bureau building, and the grandstands, they rolled in there before school was out in the spring, and we're hoping tomorrow or so they are about done to move out. But the grandstands has all new steel, a few boards replaced, a paint job, it'll have new signage, it has a new front retaining wall for safety. We did some work on the ends and kind of some bleacher changes. So when you get to the grandstands this year and enjoy those wonderful grandstands event, you'll go in with a clean, fresh look and safer than it's been.
And that's got to be a big concern of yours, is the safety at the fence.
Safety.
I mean, there's not just being around the animals, but all the other things that go on there. You have to make sure people have a good time and a good memory to take home.
Absolutely. We work hard at that throughout. We want people to have that good memory and have it in a safe fashion. So when we do a few things and occasionally people say, well, I can't see as well. Well, you can't see as well because we're being as safe as we can possibly be. But we really think that the new changes that we've made at the grandstands up front are going to make for great visibility. We've added handicap seating at the grandstands. So those people who come in wheelchairs are now, there's wonderful spots for them to sit right down front and have lots of room to be able to, you know, wheelchairs and see. And that's a piece that we've kind of lacked there in the past as well.
As a public facility, you have to think ADA.
We
Americans with Disabilities.
We do, and there's a few families out there that have been longtime FAIR supporters that we've struggled with. How do we get, you know, that wheelchair, that amigo, to get where it needs to be and get them to enjoy the facilities? And as we've done a lot of these renovations lately, that's been a big piece of it. How do we make sure that those family and those people get the best piece of that?
Because it is a community fair, and
absolutely,
everybody's part of the community and should
correct
be able to enjoy it.
Correct.
And you have other aspects coming up in the week on that, and we'll talk when we get into the thing about giving everybody a chance to enjoy what the fair has to offer. But we're already well into the program. Do you want to go over some of the new events you've got coming up, some of the things?
A couple quick pieces, Craig. Monday night, instead of monster trucks, we're going to have Combine Demolition Derby. We've got a lot of people excited about that. We had that event a few years ago. And it kind of went for a couple years and then didn't go. We thought we'd change it up again. The monster truck people, we've did that 3 years. You know, you kind of change things again. So we have 9 combines pre-registered. Should put on a great show. During intermission of that, we'll have the Elkton group with their lawnmower races back in as part of that. They have a lot of fun down there. If you've not seen them before, the lawnmower race people, that's a fun little piece. It'll be between heats. And then, of course, as we roll through the week, Tuesday, we don't have major grandstand event. We have horse pulling that will go on, but we have Tuesday night as a youth night. We have a DJ coming in. They're going to have volleyball and games for the kids. They're looking at a spot and maybe have a bonfire down on the infield to have some music and the kids to be able to enjoy that. We have a gentleman who came to the fairgrounds last year and took pictures all week long of kids with their animals and projects and the 4-H and the Midway, and he's going to have that picture presentation going on all evening for kids and families to be able to enjoy and reminisce about last year's fair, and we kind of hope to make that a tradition as we move forward as well.
Terrific. And that's just the first 2 days.
That's just the first 2 days. We get to Wednesday on, and it's a lot of the traditional things, the truck pull. Of course, Thursday night, Bullerama. You know, that's been a longstanding. Bayport State Bank has stepped in with that, and Mauer Electric, and supported that. And that's a great piece to us. The Bullerama with Dwayne Spa, country singer to start. We added the girls barrel racing back last year, and that was popular, and they'll be there. Friday night, the Mid-Michigan Mud Runners are back again. If you didn't get a chance to see that last year, I didn't realize quite what it is. It's not just your four-wheel drive truck going through a water hole. They have some mud buggies down there that are pushing a lot of horses and a lot of speed. And I might not sit in the front row because the mud has a tendency to fly.
Sort of a dirty Gallagher concert.
almost. It's just a lot of fun with those equipment. And then, of course, on Saturday night, the traditional tractor pull is back. And of course, don't forget Friday afternoon, the livestock sale. Even if you are someone who doesn't want to buy animals, to come down and watch that experience in the new facilities will be just wonderful.
And each day, when does the Midway open? When is a good time for people to go out and have the entire thing going?
Kids Day on Monday, it opens a little late because they have to get in and get started. So we open about 5 on Monday. Kids Day, I think it opens at 1 o'clock Tuesday for Kids Day. And then the rest of the week, I'm not sure if it's 3. I would have to look at what my schedule says in terms of what time it starts. But if you check our website and look, I apologize for not bringing that with me, but it's a later afternoon start the rest of the week. Buy the wristband for one price for riding the rides the whole time you're there.
I understand that it's going to be open Thursday morning, though.
Thursday morning, well, kind of it's going to be open. Thursday
May
morning.
Not be all the bling, but
no,
it's
not
be
all the bling and things. Thursday morning, we started this last year. A special needs day for the kids. Those special needs students, handicap or emotional, the autistic children, some of those kinds of things. We have a group through the Huron Intermediate School District that have an advisory committee of parents and interested people, and they've worked with the carnival to be able to set up Thursday morning 9:30 to 1, and there's flyers and advertising and information out that. Most of the families that would have someone that qualify know about it, but they come down for free. There'll be a few rides open that are rides that would be better for those kids. We turn the lights off and the music off so it doesn't bother those kids that can't take that. A little special need and slower pace for them. Some treats for them. We'll have animals out that they can pet and see. I was told last night the fire truck and the ambulance will be there for them to be able to view that. They're doing a lunch for them. Free cotton candy from Michigan Sugar. Just a lot of neat. And I heard rumor that Santa might even do a candy drop that morning for them. So Christmas in July.
I think Thursday's already August, but okay.
Well, maybe. I don't know. No, Craig. We're still in July. We're still in July. So that's an event that started last year and has kind of grown. And Doug Birch and the guys from TJ Schmidt Amusement were excited to have the opportunity to do that for those special needs kids and their families. We want them to come enjoy the fair atmosphere at a slow pace, at a pace that fits them, and we're excited to be able to offer that again this year and hope it grows to be bigger and better all the time.
And you don't need any certificate or anything to prove your kid is special need.
Nope. If you have a child with special need, we ask you to come in through Fair Street entrance. They're going to come to the Fair Street entrance. They'll register in at the old Rabbit Barn. We're going to have that set up for registration for them this year. They'll have signage and things, and should just be a great morning for those special need kids to be able to enjoy a fair atmosphere at a slower pace that fits and works for them.
When you don't want them bumping in with crowds and everything else and getting a poor feeling about it, and make it something they'll enjoy and remember for a long time.
Absolutely, that's the plan.
Terrific. And I understand that the fair is always looking ahead, always looking for things. Do you get most of your ideas from other people telling you what they'd like to see at the fair, or do you?
Well, we always like to have people tell us what they think. Good, bad, or indifferent. I don't care, Craig. We're ready for that.
As long as it's civil.
Tell us how we can make improvements. Tell us what you'd like to see. We're always looking at that. We listen to the community and people. We travel to events. We go to other fairs. We go to our conventions. We meet with promoters and have those conversations about what's out there and what's available. And unfortunately for us, it's what can we afford. Because when we start talking about bringing in something that's a little bigger entertainment, that costs more money, and it depends on what the sponsorship is and whether we can afford it.
And your grandstand seating is limited, so the tickets would have to reflect that cost, and it would price people right out of the event anyway.
Right. And we don't want to do that. We like to keep the cost at a price where people don't have to pay what they'd pay to travel to the big city and can see it on a smaller venue. One other quick reminder. Some of you may remember from a couple years ago we had a lumberjack show on the fairgrounds, and they will be back this year too. We had a lot of fun with them. They're out of Minnesota, and a great bunch of guys that came in and do log rolling and chainsaws, and they interact with the kids and the family. So that's up by the fair office on the main corner up there.
And all the traditional food and drinks and everything you have
at
the fair. Of
course, the traditional, the Lions Club Eat Stand is there in full force, and of course some of our local vendors, Beckler's Crew in there, and all the, I haven't made it over to Tuscola yet. I hope to get there sometime this week, but they tell me that the deep fried dill pickles and Twinkies and all that kind of stuff are there, and of course you got to have an elephant ear and a Gibby's footlong and fries, and the food stuff is always there and cranking for the people, and the rides bigger and better than ever. We really appreciate, we have a very good clean Midway that supports us very well.
And these are the things when you travel you look for.
Oh, absolutely.
These are the things you see. Well, who's doing your Midway? Because you like the way it's presented. You like the way it's clean and the way it works. And that's sometimes how you bring things to the fair.
Sure. Our board members, typically between the nine members of the board, will hit a dozen different fairs throughout the season and look at, you know, what did they have for entertainment? What did they do in their grandstands? How did they do certain things? And can we afford to bring that in? And then we talk to local businesses and supporters about what would you be willing to support towards some of those things happening.
And early in the fair, you have the things like the 4-H, I think they call them ambassadors this year, that will be crowned, and the Bean Queen and all of the other things that happen at the fair that
Bean Queen, 4-H ambassadors, all of those traditional type things. And a lot of people don't realize that some of the 4-H projects actually start coming in Friday and have some judging on Saturday. So some of that stuff in the 4-H building is actually in place and ready. So when people come on Monday, it's already been judged and it's already set. So if you're
you see the ribbons there already.
You see the ribbons there already. Yeah, you don't have to wait till later in the week to get that. And of course, then throughout the week are the rest of the livestock and animal judging and some of the other activities that are involved.
Merchants building still there? Because I remember that when I was along.
Sure.
I used to have to do the fair coverage in the trailer.
Sure, right.
And I always remember the milk was next to us, the people with the milk stand. And then, the barns were right there. And there was always the merchants.
Well, we've changed a little bit. Of course, the WLEW cruiser wagon will set right out in front of the main office. It sets on our main, just off Fair Street at the main office, the merchants building in the back. There were a few years that we kind of struggled that was a piece that wasn't quite so much. The internet kind of made that a little harder thing. But I think we have a number of new people coming in. There'll be some new pieces put to that this year. Actually have a vendor coming in, if you've been to some of the fairs, that has the candy store. That bulk candy store will be in there this year, along with a number of other pieces. A few outdoor vendors. We have a few new vendors on the grounds as well. And of course, the dairy barn sits over between the hog building and the expo center, and that's there all week. You got to get your ice cream from the dairy barn. You just can't go a week of the fair without that.
Yeah, and it was always a good time, and always something going on.
Always, always. And again, kids come. We want the kids to enjoy it, have a fun time at the fair with their families. And it's surprising if you look at the number of families that Fair Week is one of their weeks of vacation that they take from work for the year. The camper rolls in on Friday before the fair, and some of those people pretty much live there all week with their animals and just enjoying a vacation week at the fair with all the events and activities. And to us, that's just great to see. Family fun, entertainment, and affordable, and nothing's better than the fair.
And still, the Fair Street and the Soper Road entrances are available again this year, except that Thursday morning for
Absolutely.
The special needs.
Thursday morning for the special needs, we're encouraging them to use the Fair Street because registration will be over there and it'll be handier. But
you don't want to have to walk a long ways to get to it.
Right. For the vast majority of people, that Soper Road entrance will be there, as always, with the nice big grass parking lot. And we've had beautiful rains on and off through the summer, so it's there. And of course, Craig, we couldn't have that comment without saying we know we'll get a day of rain next week, but even if it rains, Wallace Stone, boy, we've hauled in a lot of stone on those drives and things, and we've done some extra drainage things, and you're going to get a little mud on a day it rains the fair, but it dries up in a hurry and we'll have a great week.
We'll cross our fingers it'll be the day you have the mud races.
Mud races?
That way you can. That way you got a good head start.
Sure, sure, absolutely.
Well, it sounds like you've got everything in place and you're just waiting for the big event.
We're close. You know, people say, "Are you ready for the fair?" And I said, "It doesn't start till Sunday. I don't have to be ready yet." But within a couple days, we'll have things set. A lot of the kids and crew are coming in tonight and tomorrow night to start their decorating of stalls and finish some of their end of cleanup and the last kind of details. The trash barrels and picnic tables are being set out, and some of the signage is going up. And I can assure you that by Sunday, when you roll on the fairgrounds, we're ready to roll, and we're just all going to have a great time at the 147th annual Huron Community Fair.
And it's really not just one week at the fair. You do events other times of the year of other people come in and use the facilities because it's just, you know, important to use them.
We
and
do.
You have handy riders in there every so often. You have other types of shows and performances, other things that allow you to utilize the fairgrounds, not just for a week, but
sure.
more in a year.
It is. It's there and available. And we now have some buildings and spaces that would be available for family reunions or other type of activities that go on. And look, in the next couple years as we roll along, getting close to that 150th, that we will be having some other activities on the fairgrounds as well. We hope to maybe start a little concert series or something like that. And
yeah, the circus in there a little earlier this summer.
The circus is there. Yeah, we try to utilize the grounds as much as we can. We have a beautiful facility that absolutely needs to be used more than 1 week out of the year.
And you're also looking to do some bathhouses.
We are.
Because if you're doing the mud work or all the other stuff, you get dirty and you just need to
sure.
freshen up. And it needs to be properly done if you're a public facility, and that sometimes entails more costs.
We kicked off this winter a campaign to get started with a new bathhouse that will set down kind of off across from the grandstands. When we started doing some prints and some work, it's going to be an expensive process. We know we're going to have a couple $100,000 easily invested in that, so we've started a campaign for raising funds for that. And of course, anybody out there that would like to enjoy a nice, clean, new bathhouse facility and would like to help support that, we have a number of ways that's possible for them to do. And if we can get enough seed money to get us started, then we can go after some grants to help offset the cost and not make us have to spend the whole works.
Because there's costs for getting the design and all the other things. People just think it's bricks and mortar, but you have to plan ahead.
It's a commercial building, and architectural plans on that commercial building alone could cost us $15,000. And so when you have a fundraising event that raises $3,000 or $4,000, you got to have four or five of those just to get a print to know where you're going. So,
and then all the years you take to try and raise the funds to build it, the cost of building it's going up.
It does. When we've looked at some old facilities or some other facilities, and they've told us what it costs, and they always tell us, well, you add about 3.5 to 4% a year because that's what it goes up. So we would really like to find a way that we dig around and have some activities and raise some funds. My goal was for the 150th that the new bathhouse would be there, and we've got a lot of work to do in a couple years to get there, but we'll see what we can do.
Well, good luck, and good luck with the fair coming up. I hope everybody gets a chance to stop out 1, 2, maybe 5, 6 days and enjoy all the things that you've put hard work into and bringing to the Huron Community Fair.
Fair board members will be there every day. If you've got feedback for us, if you got things that we need to know, please check us down. You'll see us running around in our blue shirts with our fair emblem on it, and we truly do like to hear from the community about how we can make improvements and what kinds of things work, and pat in the back doesn't hurt once in a while either.
Or a thankless job.
Well, it's not a thankless job. We love it, and we love the smiles on the kids' faces. That's what it's all about.
Because I know you're not doing it for the money.
No.
Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Craig. Appreciate it.
Our guest today on the program has been Huron Community Fair Board President Clark Brock. He is letting us know the Huron Community Fair starts Sunday, Indian Trails Rodeo, and the animals arrive Monday. The normal activities you think of a fair start getting underway. Going on the whole week, get a chance to go out there and see what they've brought to Huron County for this year. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.